And baptism is a wonderful picture, an emblem, a symbol of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's also a symbol, an emblem, or a picture of our union with Jesus in our own death to ourselves, burial with him, and resurrection unto newness of life. You've heard that this morning. I want us to consider a few things related to baptism that are very important. We need to think about some important ramifications of the public profession of affiliation with Jesus Christ. We need to think about what it means to publicly attach ourselves to him through baptism. One of the things that happens in that is a visible physical attachment to his bride or his body, that is the church. An affiliation with Jesus Christ becomes an affiliation with his people. And along with that come tremendous blessings. The many one another commands of the New Testament. That those who belong to Jesus Christ become part of one another. And we are to love one another and serve one another. Bear one another's burdens. Forgive one another. Tolerate one another. Be devoted to one another. Be kind to one another. Encourage one another, pray for one another, comfort one another, seek good for one another, and the list goes on and on. There are tremendous benefits to a public, visible identification with Jesus and his church. And one of the benefits of that public profession and that public identification with the church is something we talk about regularly here at Grace Bible Church. In fact, a little notice appears about it every 4 weeks in your bulletin, with the heading Matthew 18 and the church discipline process. We as elders want you to be aware of the relationship that there is between a public profession of faith in Jesus Christ through baptism and the public accountability for that profession through church discipline. And I'll tell you that this is sort of a new train of thought for us as elders. I don't think we've ever had a baptism service where we turned around and then talked about church discipline. And that's what we want to do this morning. We want to help us understand the relationship between a public, visible profession of faith in Jesus Christ. We're not talking about when somebody becomes a Christian. New birth is an invisible reality that God does in the heart and produces a change working from the inside out. But baptism is a public profession of an inward reality that has already taken place. And along with that public profession and the public identification with the church comes a very important public accountability for that profession. You know, what would it be like if people said, oh yes, I love Jesus, I'm a Christian, and their lives never changed? You know how the world views Christians? Oh, they're a bunch of hypocrites. They say one thing and they do another. Well, Jesus has a solution for hypocrisy. Of course, we're all sinners. But in his body, in the church, in the bride of Christ, we are to care for one another as we sin. The reality is the believing sinner has been once and for all forgiven of all sin, past, present, and future. And yet the believing sinner also has present within him or her residual sin that affects every aspect of who we are. And while a believer for the first time has the ability to obey God and please God from that which comes from him, there is also a war between that which comes from God in the life of a believer and that which remains, the leftovers of our depravity. And all of us believers in Jesus Christ are at risk that our own sins would go unchecked and would grow. It is, in fact, possible to be merely a professing believer, full of sincerity and love for Christianity and Christian things and Christian people and Christian ideas, but without that internal heart change that is so fundamental, that is absolutely critical for eternal life. It's possible to externally hold on to Christianity. Time, trials, temptations may eventually bring to the surface a heart condition that reveals that someone isn't actually a believer. Jesus lays out a process for us in Matthew chapter 18. And we talk about this from time to time. I want you to turn there in your Bibles. And I want you to see this very important process for us, because for the believer in Jesus Christ who lets sin go unchecked in his life, there is love. There is love and care from God through each other to bring our attentions back to the truth, to bring our affections back to Jesus, to forsake sin and continue to walk with him. I want you to see that love. Here's Jesus' instructions for how we care for one another in this way. Verse 15, Matthew 18. If your brother sins, you see that word brother. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you've won your brother. That's the first step in how we care for each other. Step two is found in verse 16. If he doesn't listen to you, take two or three witnesses. And if he listens, you've won your brother. If he doesn't listen, step three is found in verse 17. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. This is startling. That is, make known to the whole church your brother's heart condition on display in his unrepentant sin. He doesn't listen to someone coming in private. He doesn't listen to a couple others gathered around. You tell it to the church. And step four, if he refuses to listen, even to all of us caring for that one, he is to be treated as a Gentile and a tax collector. That is an outsider, treated as an unbeliever. There is a step five when that one, treated in such a way, returns. And we've won our brother. What does this mean for us in baptism? Well, it means that the public profession of identification with Jesus Christ and with his church means a public accountability for that profession. And those you've seen get baptized this morning have weighed that and they've said, yes, we want that accountability. We want the body of Christ to love us and hold us to our profession because Jesus is our only hope. That relationship has always been true for those who get baptized. We haven't necessarily articulated. What we've been thinking through as elders is the relationship that public accountability has for children who are baptized. Have you thought about this before? What does it mean for a young one who professes faith in Jesus Christ and then is baptized when that young one needs to be cared for via Matthew 18? And all of the weight and the public accountability that goes with that. The implications of this are things that your elders have been thinking about, praying through, studying about. And we want you to know that going forward, you've been introduced to these thoughts. And it serves as a weightiness, even an ability for a young one to count the cost of what it means to follow Jesus. So that when you see young ones get baptized in the future, you must know they have counted the cost of what it means to follow Jesus in a number of ways. But significantly, they have welcomed this idea that all of the church be involved in helping me walk with Christ, correcting my heart trajectories when they get off, and the public profession of faith in baptism comes with a public accountability for that profession, and one done in love. This is something that we want you moms and dads to be thinking about. It's something that we want you young ones to be thinking about, to consider. We invite you to take the baptism class when it comes up next and explore these things. If what I've talked about this morning has brought about questions for you moms and dads or even for you kids considering baptism, we want you to talk with us. And if it's created questions for anybody else, we want you to talk with us as well. We love that God saves people of all ages. We love the work that God is doing in our midst through Next Generation Ministries and student ministries and bringing young ones to himself, causing them to be born again at a young age and protecting them from many things. And we also value the maturity that is required for an understanding of the weightiness of this kind of care for one another. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for, again, for these ones who have professed faith in you, who have sought to live their lives for your glory and no longer for themselves. As we celebrate all that you have in store for us today, we pray that you would receive all glory and that we would love you with all our heart and all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.